The following sermon was delivered by Associate Pastor Reverend Natalie Owens Pike in the sanctuary of Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. We welcome you to worship with us every Sunday in person or on live stream. For details, go to fapc.org. And now, here's Reverend Natalie Owens Pike.
Friends, it is so good to see you in this place. To see you with name tags on, saying hello, celebrating this special chapel church style service in those 7 whole minutes of passing the peace. The Reverend Chris reminded me that 7 is a holy number this week, so know that this was truly a holy interruption. It is so good to be church together today. To greet each other by name, to bring into our worship all that is swirling in our hearts and our bodies, our families and our nation, to be here and to know we are not alone in any of it. We are so glad to be with you and to worship with you, the one who came so that we may have abundant life. So today, friends, whatever you bring into this sanctuary, maybe you bring a heavy heart, looking around at how our neighbors are being treated, looking around at the uncertainty in our lives in this time, wondering, where do we go from here? Maybe it feels like a desert or a wilderness time to you. And so over these summer months, your clergy are taking up a new sermon series in this season of considerable geopolitical heat. In a moment where we seem to be finding new levels to that word unprecedented, we are turning to scripture that serves as water in the desert for us. We're anchoring ourselves in the promises of the prophet Isaiah, who in chapter 41 assures us of the word of the Lord. I will open up rivers for them on high plateaus. I will give them fountains of water in the valleys. I will fill the desert with pools of water. Rivers fed by springs will flow across the parched ground. So as we seek water in the desert together, we will travel with the Hebrew people in their exodus, following Moses across deserts of uncertainty and distrust. We will listen as Jesus tells us parables. We will come alongside those who find healing in pools of water or in wells. We will ponder water turned to wine. We will explore scriptures that point us toward the source of our creation in times of fear or division or disruption. So come, listen for the wisdom of the ancestors of our faith who found new life in its wellsprings, in prayer and petition, in connection across difference, and in healing in community. In our text this morning, Moses and the Israelites have left slavery under Pharaoh in Egypt. They have escaped the military pursuit of the Pharaoh's soldiers. They have just crossed the Red Sea miraculously with the provision of God, and they are following Moses into the desert, journeying to the land and future promised to them by God. So let us listen for this water in the desert, these words in the wilderness from Exodus chapter 15, beginning with verse 22. Then Moses ordered Israel to set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. That is why it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" He cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he put them to the test. He said, "If you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give heed to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will not bring upon you any of the diseases that I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they camped there by the water. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I was in high school, many years ago, my friends and I thought it would be a good idea to go on a camping trip in the wilderness by ourselves. We were 17. We had all been on camping trips before with groups or with our family, but we were so excited by this idea that our families, our parents were going to let us go camping by ourselves, drive off into the wilderness with no supervision. So we got our cute matching sweats. We had these great mix CDs for the drive. We had all the salty road trip snacks. And then we actually got to the wilderness, the Lake Superior hiking trail where we set on our trip. And it was a little shocking what it takes to go camping by yourself. Maybe you know by now that I actually do like to camp. I joke that I talk about it all the time up here. Though this is still shocking to some of my city colleagues, I keep telling them these stories to help connect us to the journeys of our ancestors in our faith, in these wildernesses that we talk about. It's not just a metaphor or an in-between space for the Israelites as they search for new life. It's also a proper noun where your pastor has gotten a lot of bug bites and been formed as a person and been met with the strength of God in the face of her fears. But friends, even though I do really like this camping stuff, on this trip, we teenagers, we were not thriving. This was our first trip really outside of our comfort zone. There were no adults. There were mosquitoes. There were flies, biting ones. There were ticks. And we were bad, and I mean really, really bad, at cooking our own food. There was a legendary recipe of my own creation that my friends still tease me over of dry pan-fried falafel. It was so bad. It was so bad. And then, at the end of every day, we had to filter our water using this tedious hand pump to squeeze out all the germs and the dirt and the little creeks that we were camping next to. We'd be looking for this water source all day long, drinking the water we had filtered the night before, hiking in the summer sun. And a couple of days into the trip, we were really hot and tired, and we went to find the water source near our campsite, but our promised creek in the wilderness was just a puddle of mud under a bridge. "What shall we drink?" we cried out. This water clogged our hand pump every few minutes because it was so full of dirt. And when we did eventually get some water to come through, it did not taste good. I wish I could say that we were brave and creative, that we laughed it off and encouraged each other and just got through it. But instead, I think at least one of us cried. And we were definitely all complaining. And then we left our trip a day early, because we were so miserable. Some of you might be like, yeah, that sounds really reasonable, actually. But we had committed to it. How hard it is to trust that the bitter lingering will turn to sweet, that we called it off. And we chose to do this for fun. For only a few days before we went back to drinking this sweet and filtered water straight from a tap in our homes. But the Hebrew people of this Exodus story, the people that Moses leads to bitter water, they have been journeying through a true desert, crossing it at great risk, leaving behind the lives they knew because there was no future for their children there anymore. Pharaoh threatening to throw their children into the river to turn that water, the source of life in the Nile Valley, into the death of future generations. And so they risk the journey. They follow Moses, and from water to water they are led. They cross the Red Sea. And in this short passage alone, we hear of two springs that are mentioned by name, Marah and Elim. One bitter, one plentiful. Both a stop along the way in their desert journey, and both glimpses of a promised land they may never reach. Let's say, for the sake of this story, that for part of this wandering, they could see the oasis ahead. They could see, let's say, those 70 date palms waving miles off, and for mile after dry and dusty mile, they're counting on that promise. This promise of forward progress, of success for future generations. This promise of resurrection after loss. This promise of new life after slavery. Of God's provision through pain. But then here they are, at the water they've been waiting for. The good news to quench their thirst, to fulfill their faithfulness, to give them a sign that Moses is the leader they should follow, that their God does not forget them. And the text tells us when they came to Marah, they could not drink the water because it was bitter. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Friends, do you have your own story of how we've been tasting bitter water in these days? Have we too been worried, asking, "What shall we drink?" to our leaders, just as the Israelites complained to Moses? Because it's important that, like the Israelites, we call it what it is, that we name that this is not normal, that this will not nourish us, this bitter water. We need water we can drink. We need wages that are livable. We need to live free of fear of violence. We need to live in peace, even with those with whom we disagree. So the people call it out, and Moses cries out to God, "Oh God, come bless this water. Come make a font for us in the desert. Provide for us in our thirst and our fear. Help make it sweet, where all we taste is bitterness in our mouths." How does Moses know to do this? How does Moses trust God enough to cry out and expect a solution, expect an answer? Well, the Exodus text is full of stories where God speaks to Moses through fire, through wind, through uncrossable distance, not just in a still, small voice. In Moses' life, there are tales of provision and miracle. In fact, if you look at your bulletin cover today, you can see on the water this basket floating on the Nile. This is Moses as a baby, rescued from death because of the courageous risk-taking of his mother, his aunt, and the daughter of Pharaoh. And Moses' name actually means one drawn out from water. So through the desert, from water to water to water, the people are wandering, led by someone who knows a little something about how water can save. The people call out their needs, and it is Moses' story that helps him call on God and trust in God. For in the midst of upheaval and pain, we too can turn the bitter into sweet together. We can call it what it is, my friends. This water is bitter and we cannot drink it. And then we must share the stories, the practices that have turned us around in the past. Back on that camping trip, struggling to filter our water, the one that we bailed on early in our thirst, it makes me laugh to this day. My friends and I talk about it still. And I'll be reunited later this week with most of the women from this trip nearly 20 years later. We're still making each other laugh and listening to each other complain when we need to and reminding each other of these stories that we share. For in the bitter water that we left behind, we carry a little bit of sweetness. We carry each other's stories, reminding us who we have been, who God has been to us in our lives, how we can offer God's love and provision to each other. We can tell the stories of when we've called on God and what has been made possible in our lives because of that petition. To solve those ancient questions too big for our hands alone, like how do we live in peace? How do we love our neighbors as ourselves? Yesterday at the Women's Summer Sabbath Retreat, we spent some time sharing our stories too. We looked at scripture together and we shared questions of faith and life and what God's purpose might be for us in this moment. We told each other how important it feels in the world right now to see each other on the street and smile, to offer each other the sweetness, the gift that it is to be seen. And these were New Yorkers, my friends, saying, smile to each other on the street. We shared the importance of these little glimmers of God's love in the world, God's love in our midst, how it changes your day to make eye contact and smile when there is so much uncertainty and fear. For when we surround ourselves only with fear, when we are stuck in that doom spiral of despairing of what will happen next, when we can only taste the bitter water of what's happening around us, we miss those glimmers, those oases, that hope on the horizon. We forget, as some of the Israelites do, the stories that Moses remembers, that so many of our ancestors wove baskets of reeds, crossed deserts, made their own journeys, made sacrifices, made petitions to God, prayed for us in these future generations to be whole and to be well. We need to remind each other of these stories now. Preacher, though, you may be wondering, aren't you leaving out the whole bit, that whole second half of the scripture? About how this loving God who will provide in the desert for the Israelites, aren't you leaving out that part about how God will send disease to our enemies? And you're right. It hurts to hear of loving God saying that because of the land where you're born, you will become an example of living apart from God. It reminds us how tempting it is to wish upon our enemies whom we set apart from ourselves, to wish them discomfort or disease, to wish them just one small portion of the fear that we feel in the night for our lives or the lives of our children. Especially if we are escaping our captors across the desert, as the Israelites are, wanting a better life for their children, wanting just a little water to quench their thirst, or when they perceive a threat. When there are bullies in the halls of power calling for allegiance and waving big sticks. Isn't that when we wish to call on the Almighty One? Doesn't it seem so tempting to give over to our Creator the power to destroy? But if we learned nothing in the pandemic, in that desperate seeking of working vaccines, it's that that's not how disease works. If my neighbor is sick, can I really be well? If we can only wish bitter water for our neighbor, if we cannot drink from the well that we share, how will we know sweetness at all? So, friends, Moses reminds us to remember we need each other. We will not be broken by this journey, by this thirst, so that all may be protected from the disease of greed and separation. We can call together on God to turn this bitter water sweet. We can call on the memories and the actions of our ancestors. We can remind each other that we've been here before. because we must not drown in the bitterness, friends. We must remember these stories that teach us to ask for God's help, to call on God as Moses does. For that is why we are here, to be in this together, to share our stories, to let God lead us, one source of water at a time, closer and closer to the promised land, even if we never see it. And still telling each other the stories of how we got this far.
We hope this sermon has been meaningful to you and given you a measure of hope, encouragement, and good news. If you would like to make a donation to support this audio ministry, please visit fapc.org/give. Thank you and blessings to you on this day.